Welcome to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM with me, Sean Delaney. You can listen to or download almost 300 podcasts of previous Inside Education programmes at seandelaney.com/podcasts. On this week's programme, I bring you an interview with a guest who featured on the programme before. John Doyle is a retired primary school teacher and a philosopher. I first met John when I was placed as a student teacher in his class many years ago, and we've been friends ever since. As well as teaching for many decades in St. Bridget's National School in Castleknock, John reads widely and reflects constantly on his own teaching and on teaching more generally. On today's programme, the first half of the programme consists of John's metaphor of a classroom being a ring, a boxing ring, and the preparation a teacher does for stepping into the ring is the gym work that's done in advance. In the second part of today's interview, I asked John some questions about books he's read that influenced his teaching and about advice he'd give to a beginning teacher. But first on today's programme, John reflects on the classroom as a boxing ring.
We are inclined to think of teaching as entering the ring or maybe going for many rounds a day or a week within the ring. And the image of the ring appeals to me because it's a place of challenge. And you're challenged by the children, but also by your own ignorance or slowness to make the most of situations as they arise. And that challenge will remain as long as you remain in teaching. And it is the challenge of teaching to make a little go a long way or to seize the moment. What kind of moment are we talking about? We're talking about a moment of insight, a moment of inspiration, but not just a moment of insight for the teacher or a moment of inspiration for the children, but both inspiration and insight for teachers and children. And sometimes those insights, those inspirations come to the teacher from the children. And that cannot really be anticipated, but it must be seized when it presents itself. The ring. The ring is how I think of the classroom. You enter the ring. But you don't just enter the ring, you prepare for the ring. In other words, a boxer's life is not just in the ring. A boxer's life is mostly in the gym and working out. And sometimes working out with boxers who have experience, who are actually trying to help the boxer to raise his game. These people can be very important. So in a way, again, the idea of the gym matters for a teacher. I look at a teacher and I see his class, I see her in her class. And everything seems so comfortable, so at home, so harmonized. Pictures on the wall reflecting the common interests of the teacher and the children. But there's also, outside that, there is the gym. And I think every teacher has a gym. Call it a mind gym, a heart gym, an imaginative gym, an informational gym, a communicational gym. It's many things. And sometimes the teacher works out quite intensely in that gym. And sometimes, you know, as it happens in many gyms, there are very few presences there. One can take, as it were, a holiday from the gym, but one cannot take a permanent holiday from the gym. Or one's teaching begins to become thinner, flatter. You begin to think of a conveyor belt rather than living communication. So every teacher, I think, oscillates between classroom or ring and the gym. And they are oscillating also within the gym, things they do. And they can be quite different depending on the subjects that they are teaching. For example, what would you do in the gym if you were trying to keep Irish alive? Or what would you do in the gym if you were trying to teach music to children? So the gym is a space. It's an active space. It's a workout space. And sometimes you work out alone, but often you work out with someone And sometimes that other doesn't even know that they have been enrolled in your gym. You have a conversation about something and it brings floods of insights, which eventually, not the next day, eventually will make their way into the classroom. I found as a teacher, part of my gym was actually going on a teacher's course at the end of the school year. Some teachers did these courses in order to benefit from the permission to take several days off during the year. And that was a wise policy. But the courses actually were workouts, often workshops. And one came to see one's subject in a different light. I believe in what's called the fallout effect. The fallout effect, it might be ominous, but it's not. I don't mean it that way. After a nuclear explosion and so much goes up into the atmosphere, it all falls down. The same is true of a great volcanic eruption. There's many things settling on the countryside. And I'm saying an intense course at the end of the school year, even though one may be a bit tired, it can be nevertheless quite involving. You learn something and then you forget it. Sometimes at the end of the summer, someone asks you, what course were you on? And you can't even remember, but it doesn't matter. Intensity brings the fallout. In other words, later, things fall as if from the sky, but they wouldn't fall from the sky unless you had entered this space, this gym. Now, you can't be doing courses all the time, all the year round, although, you know, some teachers do courses at night, which in some way connect with what you're doing in some way. Again, the fallout effect. Why do I stress that? Because it's not immediate. You don't do something and then the next day go into class and implement it. It might take even 2 or 3 years for things to settle. And you say, oh, now I see where that might fit in. And very often those insights, they become truly part of your future teaching. And no one can force them. You can't compel them yourself. All you can do is do things in your mind gym that evoke them, invite them, appreciate them, and then they become part of you. And I think that's really important because teachers don't usually talk about the gym at all. They talk about the class, and they often don't even talk about the class. They talk about the lesson. The lesson is like a little cube of time and space, and the teachers live from one cube to the next. But what I'm talking about is a much slower way of learning, teacher learning, through the gym, and then the children learning, not in cubes, as it were, little bits of chicken cut, especially for them, but I think they learn through building up a certain pace, a certain intensity, a certain, almost like riding a bicycle. At a certain point, you're unaware that you're riding the bicycle because whatever the incline is, you're meeting it. That's where teaching happens. The problem is to get the children to reach the speed appropriate to this incline, even a fairly steep incline. And the teacher then, you say, oh, well, the children can't do that. Well, that's where they have to have extras, kind of apps on their bicycles, gears. And that's where the teacher has to provide gears. In other words, make a hard thing simple and then later make it hard again. That's it. Now, to give an idea of what the gym is like is a hard thing to do because everyone's gym is different. And as I say, it depends very much on what subject one may be addressing. Usually in a gym, the teacher doesn't address and rehearse all subjects all the time. Usually the teacher engages with one subject for a while. And there are many challenges within that engagement. There are informational challenges. But for me, the key challenge is appreciation, the way of appreciation. As Jesus said, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. So in a way, I think the gym is the teacher searching for treasure. Treasure that will enter the classroom. And it's not as if you know where to find it. This searching, maybe searching in the mist, especially if you're not with others who are equally searching along the same trail. But it's worth doing, and a teacher will keep doing it because they will see the effect of it among the children. It'll be unthinkable that they would give up the gym. Now, I suppose as they go on in teaching, and teaching is a kind of curve of life, you know, there's a morning, there's noon, there's afternoon, there's evening, there's dusk, and maybe there's night, where the teacher goes on alone and learning alone things that are not going to be shared with children. They have retired, whatever that is. Retirement doesn't mean that learning stops. Retirement means the teacher leaves the classroom, but it doesn't mean that the teacher leaves the gym. The gym would be very dear to the teacher. So what I'm saying is it's hard to convey how one engages with the gym, what is at stake in the gym, how one improves in the gym. Now, teachers often write a lesson plan, and then they write an assessment of the lesson. And these are very important things in school teaching. You know, I always took seriously the reflection upon what I had done. And usually that led me back into the gym. I didn't take so seriously the immediate preparation, the proximate preparation for the lessons. Why? I was relying upon being fit through my practice in the gym, so I could rise to the occasion. But without the gym, I would have had no recourse except to have some kind of plan. And it is the custom that teachers make plans, and there's that expectation that they make plans. And, you know, if when students come to our school to study teaching, those who come and who come along to examine them, the first thing they do is show me your plans, your lesson plans. So some of these lesson plans can be amazing. In fact, if you see a folder of these plans, it always looks to me like a PhD done in a month. Wow. Now, in my own case, as I said, it was the gym rather than the plan. So taking Irish as a subject that which issued from books, particular practices, what's indicated for children at this or that level. There's something deeper. The question is, where was I coming from? Because every teacher is coming from somewhere. And every teacher is coming from somewhere different. Not only are they coming from somewhere different vis-a-vis each subject. For example, a teacher is coming to music, maybe coming from somewhere very different to a teacher who's coming to Irish. But also, the very same teacher, as they live their lives, supposing they're 25, they are coming from somewhere in teaching Irish. Suppose they are 55, they're coming from somewhere teaching Irish, but not the same place. They have moved on, things, they've had second thoughts and third thoughts on things. So here's a question. The gym nourishes life in the ring, but what nourishes life in the gym? Now, we could keep going back, you know, with another metaphor. I want to say that one of the primary activities in the gym is, it's like two currents meeting. It could be a cold current and a warm current. It could be a current full of sediment meeting a current that has no sediment. But there's this joining, and in the gym, things pass from one's life into a training zone, into something that begins to bend and curve and gravitate towards teaching. So I think the hard thing in the gym is to open a conversation between proximity to teaching and one's own life. Now, Irish is, I keep saying Irish, but it could be anything, but take Irish. You know, we all learned Irish in school, so we have an experience of Irish. and we have a relationship to Irish. It has travelled with us, and we are going to bring that with us. Now, teachers often try to blank out their experience of something and teach the thing required. Page 13, or whatever it is, they blank out a lot. Their sense of relevance is relevance within the ring, whereas I think of relevance as relevance within the gym, because it's when the two currents, the current within the gym meets the current from your life. It may be choppy waters for a while. Often your life goes down, it sinks down under the current in the gym, but it's still there. If there are fish, they go there because they know there's fertility.
John, you are very widely read. Which texts most influenced how you teach?
What comes to mind immediately is, I think I have learned to teach from children. Children were and are my teachers. And comments they have made here, there, everywhere, questions they have raised, challenges they have made, and silences, deep silences. I used to notice something that might sound very banal, but it actually kept me on track as a teacher. And that is when children suddenly wanted to go to the toilet. That was a sign that they had disconnected, detached. They were going elsewhere. So if one child wanted to go to the toilet, I took that as a signal, it's over. So I was aware of that. I'm taking that as an example of how children can teach you. You know, one thing I found as a teacher, again, I learned it really with them, from them, is telling a story and telling it slowly. Above all, I think, if you ask me, what did you learn? I think I learned, go slow. A girl said to me once, I like the way you teach maths. Oh, how's that? And she said, I like the way you go slow. Now, strangely, that was a little bit of a revelation to me, and also a direction to me. You're going slow, and it's being noticed. Continue. And I did everything slowly, by comparison with other teachers, which meant, of course, I couldn't do as much as other teachers, because there just isn't enough time. Nevertheless, while I was teaching, I was mulling over things, chewing the cud, and I always wanted the children to, their homework really became more and more and more, share what you've learned today. Talk it over with your parents. Some people thought that was mad, or some thought I was deserting my post by not giving them lots of homework. But I said, I did give them homework in school. They do their homework in school and their schoolwork at home. It's a circulation. So writers then that were appreciating circulation influenced me. And I think I was influenced by Rudolf Steiner, whom I now find almost unreadable. But he was lucky insofar as he had a few disciples and interpreters who took away his madness, as it were. When they spoke, it gave me a sense of one word. I'm sure they said it, but that's what I imbibed from them, which was rhythm. School education is rhythm. Everything is rhythmical. Now, if I've learned anything, I've learned that teaching is rhythmical. And rhythm, there's micro-rhythms, meso-rhythms, macro-rhythms, rhythm. It's all rhythm. By the way, breathing is rhythm. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. That was close to my own way of thinking about learning. Learning was breathing in and breathing out. What are you doing? You're breathing in and then you're sharing, breathing out. But you better you can't just breathe out and out and out and then you fall over. No, you need oxygen to breathe in. You must find your own oxygen. And that's where you go to the gym, the sense of the gym. I could also call it the treasure. You're always looking, as a teacher, you're looking for a treasure. Treasure that you can share. You know, a bookshop for me is a treasure house. And I always bought books, too many books. But for every book I bought, I rejected 100. They weren't all part of my intimate treasure. And a book for me is a living thing. The books, they speak. I'm very aware of the author, having spent time time dedicated to a reader. And I read all kinds of books, all kinds of books.
Are there any disciples of Steiner that come to mind whose books you've read?
The main disciple of Steiner that I have read and reread is a man called Owen Barfield. Now, he didn't write about education or teaching. He actually wrote more about language, English language, the way it changed over hundreds, even thousands of years, intimate changes and what they indicate about changes in the imagination. There's the issue of handing on the baton. What is the baton? And how do you hand it on? Because, you know, people can drop the baton. If you hand it on badly, it falls. In a way, my question is, what is the baton? In other words, what has come to me that must be handed on? And it's not a block. Many things are thrown into relief in different ways. In other words, some things are more important than others, and they should be honored in their importance. And other things are less important, and they should be not accented in such a way that they assume a spurious importance. And I think right now what's happened in our culture right now is that everything is equally important or nothing is important. And I think that's serious, and I think children will feel, am I important? I'm told I'm important. Why don't I feel it? I think our culture is in danger of dropping the baton. Or maybe we've already dropped it.
What advice then would you give to someone embarking on a teaching career today?
Teaching is a search, in my view, for your strengths of mind, heart, imagination, utterance, and the discounting of weaknesses. Don't bring them into play. So it's personal. That's not said because we're all professional, where the personal thing is recessive, hidden. But I think it's the hidden animator. You know, a young person going into teaching, my deepest advice would be, realize it's a life. It's going to be your life. You know, appreciate it as a life. It's again, a rhythm. You know, when I say rhythm, I mean a melody as well. Maybe it's even orchestral, if you're teaching a number of children, a number of subjects, and moving up and down in different class levels. You have to think of yourself in different ways. And my advice is appreciate yourself. Come to appreciate your strengths. Search for them. Go to the gym. I don't mean support your local gym. There aren't many senses of the word gym. But, you know, give yourself workout. And, you know, strangely, if you work out a lot, you will enjoy working out. People tell me that running, I say, wow, I find that too hard, the idea of running. But they get into it. They get their second wind. There's something that comes to meet them in running, a blessing. And I say, look, we're all looking for a blessing. And, you know, the children are looking for a blessing. And you are the source of blessings or curses. And, you know, if you're the source of a curse, sometimes that child will not get over it. It'll come back. And I just say, we are all bound, burdened, with passing on the baton. But the baton mustn't be a stick to beat them with. And they will treat it with care, respect, and want to pass it on themselves. When I think of all the subjects that a primary teacher teaches, each of those is not just what's contained in a textbook. Each of those has a history going way back. There were times when such a thing was thriving, where people were discovering it and opening it up, and times when it was fallow. There were places where it had never arrived, and there were places where it had been cultivated. So what you need to do is go to those places of the mind, go to those times and read and make friends with those who were discovering these things in their discovery. I think if you're starting as a teacher, realize this is for a long time. This is the time of your life. Treasure yourself. Treasure yourself. You are going to bear the treasure. No, you are the treasure. You are the treasure. Treasure yourself. Translating that means pacing yourself. Don't burn out. I have known teachers who become teachers and spend all their time correcting homework. I say, be careful. Conserve yourself. Save yourself up. Let the best be with the children. So again, I guess I'm hinting that homework and correction of homework is not where I would place the emphasis. But then, you know, I'm very well aware that everything I say is contestable. And that's the way it is. It's contestable. So if I say something, the effect of what I'm saying may be to make you think exactly the opposite. Well then, that's good communication.
And that invitation to engage with any of the ideas you heard on this week's programme came from this week's guest, retired teacher and philosopher John Doyle. Please feel free to join the conversation on the podcast's website, insideed.com, or on Twitter, @insideed. That's all we have time for in this week's programme. Remember, you can listen to podcasts of previous programmes on seandelaney.com or on iTunes. My own book about teaching, Become the Primary Teacher Everyone Wants to Have, which is published by Routledge, is now available online from the Routledge website or from any online bookseller. You can email me at insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Thanks to my guest, John Doyle. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.